welcome to another edition of All Consumed, a podcast about stuff that we consume. And we are Chris Osborne.
And I'm Neil Davey.
And we just consumed some great food at Sanhao in Chinatown, London. Neil,
what
you
want to
talk about this?
What can I say? I think we've commented before the rise of this kind of new wave of Chinese restaurants that's sort of springing up all over London.
This is a great one.
I think the cynical thing is that only Chinese students can afford to come to London, hence there are now loads of Chinese restaurants. There's one theory. I don't really care. As long as they bring us stuff the quality of Sanhao. You may have seen them all over social media. The signature dish is cappuccino noodles, which is a sort of chicken broth topped with a foam, I'm told, made of pork broth, milk and sesame. And it is the blandest, whitest thing you've ever seen until you mix it all together. But it's so stupidly, stupidly delicious. This is my second time in a week.
Yeah, this was your idea. And it was a great one.
Yeah, I think it's an absolute knockout. There's a man or a lady in the corner, depending on which time of day you come. I'm making noodles.
They, them.
Here.
Making noodles.
On the site. Really simple, straightforward menu. Everything I've tried here has just been terrific. Everything, all the starters seem to be about $10, all the bowls of noodles seem to be about £20.
Oh, we had a great starter too. Was that pork belly?
Yeah, the fennel.
Yeah.
Fennel.
Oh my God.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, I would do that again. I would do the cappuccino noodles again as well, man. That was so good.
Some really, really good things on there. And as you say,
Gerrard Street, so heart of Chinatown.
Yeah, right on the corner of the, I think the address is number 3. Kind of opposite the sort of the modern development of the kind of Charing Cross Road end. But it's terrific. But yes, what else have you been?
Space too, man.
There's like an upstairs. And there's about 3 floors upstairs as well. So.
And a very jaunty soundtrack.
Very jaunty soundtrack. Yes, we have. Chris is dancing as we.
Anyway,
it's quite disconcerting.
This is probably the better noodle dish I've had since our last recording. But I have had another really good noodle dish, a bowl of pho with raw rare beef at a place down the street on just off of Clerkenwell Road, like you're going into Hatton Gardens. I forget the little name of that, so a side street. This place called What the Pho. Apostrophe K, fuck? And tiny little bar. Yeah, I see what they did there. It's a place I've passed a million times, never thought about it, but I was in that area recently for some things and just sort of popped in. It was great. Surface was so fast. It was perfect for just, I don't know, being at one with a bowl of pho.
Sometimes all you want, isn't it? I just think there is something very life affirming about a good broth.
About noodles?
A good noodle soup. Yeah, it's just something.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your heritage, even if it's not your history, it kind of touches the soul.
Yeah.
So, and there's lots, it's great, there's so many little hole in the wall places that seem either springing up or have been there for a long, long time and just starting to notice them. There's a Vietnamese place just up the road from here, kind of behind Foils, which I popped into the other day and never noticed it. And it must have, and probably it's been there, I don't know, sort of 3 years or 4 years. Had never seen it. I must have walked past it 17 times a year for the last how many. Never noticed it. Great little bar.
I highly recommend What the Fuck, man. It was so good.
Imagine that to the list.
Back there. Great Vietnamese food in London at this moment. Also had a very good banh mi, more Vietnamese food, at a cafe in Hackney Wick called Kubo Garden.
Okay.
Very nice. It was soy and honey pork banh mi. It was very good. They got the bread right as well, which is not always the case in London when you're getting a banh mi. Very nice matcha drink. Had a great assortment of teas. Really nice place just to chill out. Really enjoyed it. Kubo Garden. I'll definitely be going back there as well.
Finding a good banh mi is kind of a bit of an ongoing mission. I think having never been to Vietnam, I feel there must be some good banh mis in London. Had some decent things. I'll give that a shot. Very much my kind of thing. It's been a fairly low-key couple of weeks. As you may have noticed, if you're a regular listener, I'm not coughing, so that's a win compared to the last episode.
Looking much better.
That was a very strange little virus. So it's kind of curtailed my activities the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I have managed to get out and about a little.
Okay.
The return of Simpsons in the Strand is something I think deserves celebration.
They were out of commission for a while, weren't they?
They were. It was a place I've been to a few times 20 odd years ago, 30 years ago. I had a couple of friends who were really into it. It's the classic thing of the beef trolley. They come and carve at the table. You tipped your carver.
The trolley made of beef.
The trolley made of beef.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Bugger to move around. But it was worth it. The idea with the tradition was always you tip your carver and they give you an extra slice of beef or an extra couple of slices of beef. The tipping is still in place. It used to be £1 or £2 and now it's kind of like the lower denominations of folded paper because, hey, that's where we are now. Everything's expensive.
The future is now.
Yeah. But terrific guys. Jeremy King of Corbin and King fame. He formerly of the Wolseley and Bellanger and Brasserie Zadel. He's a man who lives and breathes hospitality. This is the most perfect fit. If anyone was going to revive it, it had to be Jeremy. It's a beautiful dining room. There's lots of old school British classics. There's a brilliant bar upstairs. There's a couple of other spaces, the last one of which has just opened.
It's been a while since I've been there. Yeah,
there's kind of four, there's like two bars and two kind of restaurant spaces. The second restaurant just opened this week, which I will try and get to at some point. It's old school. It's Jeremy King doing what Jeremy King does best. Proper old school hospitality, a menu of things that you really want to eat. You can get a carafe of hock. It's like going back to the 1970s. It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
And they are also open for breakfast, which is something I really, really need to go and try.
Okay.
There's a little omelette Arnold Bennett. My arteries are not hard enough, clearly, so I need to go and sort that out. But yeah, like, phenomenal place. And what about you? What else? Anything old school?
Yeah, well, a great restaurant, Soul Bakery. I don't know if you ever visited them. They used to be off of Tottenham Court Road. There was like a little row of Korean shops and restaurants that was destroyed with the Elizabeth Line. I knew that Soul Bakery still existed, but I just never pieced it together where they were. Well, they're on Great Russell Street right across the street from the British Museum. Went by there the other day, so I was like, oh yeah, went in. It's as if they've been there for 5,000 years.
Fantastic.
Like, very settled in. There's graffiti everywhere. I think they might have even taken some of the old graffiti from the old place, but I don't know. But I had very simple but delicious kimchi fried rice with cheese, and it was so good. Yeah. And it's a great place.
It's good to know it's back.
I used to hop in there a good bit when they were back at the old location, so it's nice to finally go back there. I almost went there today.
The day is still young. We are not far.
Realized I should hold off because I was going to have an epic late lunch, early dinner with you today.
Oh, we got some. The day is young. There is time to go bakery hopping up.
Anyway. But yeah, the kimchi fried rice there is amazing.
Okay.
And I was there because I was going to the British Museum. And it's really a couple of really amazing, there's always amazing stuff at the British Museum, obviously. But the two exhibitions on right now that are really exciting for me, I've already been to see both of these. One is Samurai, and it's a comprehensive look at Samurai culture throughout Japanese history, and it's incredible the stuff they have and the detail, and just getting a look at some of the things there. That's on till the 4th of May, so there's still time to see it, although it is very
popular. It has been on my list for a long, long time.
And another exhibition that I've actually gone to see three times now, once just sort of strolling through, but that is Hawaii, A Kingdom Crossing Oceans, which is a phenomenal show. It's open until the end of May. And I'm very interested in Hawaiian and Polynesian art. They've got some great and ancient pieces. They've got, I don't know if you've ever seen the royalty of Hawaii would wear these feather cloaks. And they're like full-length capes made with these tiny feathers, fully covered in feathers. And they've got a few amazing pieces of these, pieces of these capes. And when you stop to realize it, these tiny feathers, but then even more than that, it would be like just the tips, the most colorful tips of the tail of these birds, what they would pick the feathers from. So the excruciating deep amount of work and time that would go into something that would cover like a big warrior. It's just incredible. And so they got a lot of those. Some great carvings, and I think Hawaiian carving is amazing. Some other pieces that are just great. It's a great, great, great show. I'm definitely going to be back there again before it's over. It's so cool.
I need to see that.
Yeah.
And man, with the additional allure of a fantastic bakery directly opposite.
Across the street, yeah. And I will say, even though they're called Soul Bakery, it's more the cooked food that seems to be popular there. Mm-hmm. So, but Soul Bakery is great, yeah. What about you, man? Anything else?
Yeah, staying with an Asian theme, there is, I might have talked about them before, there's a group called Med Sala. They have restaurants, they have Malaysian restaurants in Queensway, Bayswater Way. They have a Vietnamese restaurant around Earl's Court. Phenomenal job. They're just really simple, great value. Really, really good food, friendly, warm, great hospitality. And they have just opened a new Med Sala Malaysian restaurant. And it's in North London. We have restaurants in North London. Finally.
Oh, yeah.
There is a really good restaurant. And it's dangerously close to Kentish Town Tube, which is dangerously easy for me to get to. It took me about 25 minutes door to door. It's just nice, great value. Had this phenomenal clay pot for their kind of signature move. There was a saltfish chicken clay pot, which is the most umami thing I've had this year.
Swordfish chicken.
It's a saltfish.
Oh, saltfish. Oh,
saltfish chicken. Yeah. Just great again. Fantastic value. Everything's around about between sort of 10 and 20 quid. Very short drinks. There's very short menu. Lovely, lovely people. Will happily recommend stuff. There is a durian cheesecake, which is oddly addictive.
Okay.
But I also know one person that was forced to try it and absolutely detested.
Oh, dear.
It's durian. That's what you do. But it's great food, lovely people, and it's in North London. I cannot stress the joys of having something like this. Virtually on the doorstep.
Now that the Kinchestown station's open again, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes it.
It's a nice, it's a good little stretch now. I mean there's a tonkotsu there, Kossoff's, where we recorded before. Yeah, the Parakeet, one of the best gastro pubs in London, is there as well.
Tweet about them.
Oh, absolutely. Aha. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's the pizza Berbere. They've got an outpost there as well. Also great. So yeah, suddenly we are.
Right.
I don't making Kentish Town desirable.
Very nice.
Since
that's a cool part of town.
2026.
Like there.
Yeah.
Oh, good. See, you been watching anything good?
So, like so many people, we have discovered Sky now, whichever variation on the theme you have, are finally showing The Pitt, hugely acclaimed medical drama from the US.
Emmy award winning.
Multi-Emmy award winning. Noah Wiley, who was Carter in ER all those years ago, is the star. It's a really interesting concept. It's quite grisly, it's quite full on. But the concept is he is the senior doctor in an emergency room in hospital in Pittsburgh.
Is that the grisly part?
Yeah,
it's for bears.
It's all about bears. Yeah. There's a lot of
Pittsburgh, Alaska.
Chunky men with big beards. Okay. We'd fit right in. So set in Pittsburgh, called hence The Pit.
Be a good name for a bar for bears.
Yeah.
There's probably one in Soho.
There may well be. We can. I'm not going to do the bar, the bakery right. Hopping.
Okay.
We're going to do the bear hop, bar hop. No, I don't know.
Well, anyway, I'm ruining your explanation.
So The Pit, the guy's on a 15-hour shift. The series is 15 hours long. And each episode is a different hour of the one shift. So it all just covers one day in this emergency room. Really, it's really intense. Super, super intense. Very well acted, really cleverly done, interesting storylines. The I hate to think what the shooting schedule was like. It must have been as technical as something like adolescence in terms of the trying to keep on top of the various story strands and how it's evolving and different people moving in and out of different timelines or story arcs, etc. But one of those things, it had been so hyped, took a long time to get to these shores, did wonder whether it was actually going to live up to its reputation. It absolutely does.
Oh,
it is stupidly, stupidly addictive.
And I am without a series at the moment. I might start that one.
It's a proper binge one.
Okay.
We really had to ration ourselves.
Oh, really?
It's been it's been a couple of like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. finishes. No, we must we must stop this now.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
But what about you? You've seen some more unusual things.
I've seen some interesting stuff as well recently. A pretty bingeable show that I highly recommend. Limited series. I think there might only be 4 episodes, maybe a little more than that, but very few. And that's called Dirty Business.
The shame.
Depressing as hell. But it's about the Thames water crisis. And for those who aren't aware that might be listening to this, basically, England is the only place in the world with with private control over public water.
Yep.
There's no public-private, cooperation. It's just private businesses. And what they were doing for a long time might still be doing a little bit of this, actually, is just dumping literal shit into pristine waters and in our water supply and making people sick and killing children. And it talks about how these two guys found out about it. Retired men with just some time on their hand took it on. One of them was a mathematics professor at Oxbridge. I'm not sure. And the other was a retired corruption detective for, I think, Thames Valley Police, but definitely look this up. And the two of them, those great minds together, got to the bottom of this in an amazing way. And things are better, and there's some accountability, but I'm not going to say I enjoyed watching it, but no, I'm glad I watched it.
It's that important. Yeah. It's an important story. It's an important abuse of trust.
Yes.
Abuse of,
disturbing to watch.
Yeah.
And I've watched some other disturbing things, but disturbing in a fun way. So that was the disturbing and not fun way. A couple other things I watched. Recently went to a screening of this film called Dead Lover. Supposed to be playing at cinemas across UK and Ireland now. I saw it in Stinkovision, which means when I went into the screening, they gave me a little scratch and sniff card.
A jar of Thames water.
Even more deserving. Yeah, a little scratch and sniff card. And at certain points throughout the film, a number will flash on the screen, and you scratch the corresponding number on your card and then sniff it.
I'm a John Waters doing something
like
that.
Yeah, kind of a John Waters thing. Some of that was really silly. Some of it was really disgusting. The movie, basically, it's the story of a grave digger who, it's gone really quiet now. I'm talking about it. It's a grave digger who is lonely and needs a man. But because she is around corpses all day, she stinks.
What number on the card was she?
Most of them. I think there were 9 or 10 numbers. But anyway. Long story short, she actually does finally get a lover, but he gets lost at sea. Somehow she manages to retrieve his finger, tries to grow him back from it. Okay, there's no logic to this very surreal and silly film. And what happens next is even sillier and more surreal and hilarious. It's this small cast. They play all the different characters, usually gender bending in their roles, and using really ridiculous accents for all the characters that really don't necessarily correspond.
Brilliant.
And they pull it off. I have a feeling some of that would be just, some of the accents would just be considered extremely rude, but it works in this already very rude film. Anyway, so Dead Lover and Stinkovision, if you can find it. And then another film I saw, that I really loved, was called Scarlet warning 666. And this came out like the late 70s. And it was by this one guy, Homer Rocky. And he stars in it. He did the screenwriting. He did the direction. He did the cinematography. He did everything. He even plays like multiple roles in the film. Everybody else in the film is essentially a woman in a bikini. But he plays his own twin brother. And you can't always really tell because they're kind of, one of them's evil and he's trying to pretend like he's the other one, and you really don't know that. And you know, to describe it with this one guy doing everything, you would think, well, he's very talented, but no, he's just very narcissistic. He does the soundtrack to it. The music is horrible in the most wonderful way. And you know, like sometimes you get like the director's comments on like a DVD and you can watch the movie with the director.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that is a running sort of narrative through the film. But it's him talking to himself, one as his own self, and then one in this high-pitched voice responding to him. And it's almost like he's talking to his ventriloquist dummy, but we only see the movie. We don't see him talking to the dummy, but it's strange.
Strange is one of the words that.
And it was maybe the best bad movie experience I've ever had. It was hilarious. It just small smattering. I saw it in this great cinema that I'm happy to share about in a moment. But just a small number of people there. At any one point, somebody just randomly guffawed, just taking it all in, and it was great. But the screening room, the cinema, is a place called the Nickel. That I think it's been around a couple of years, but I only found out about it recently. Okay. On Clarkenwell Road, the old Magma Books site, if anybody knows that. And they do like trashy movies, cult classics, a classic cinema, like action movies from the 70s, a lot of historic stuff, like stuff for film buffs. And I'm definitely going back there again.
I'm coming with you.
Film experience. Yeah, I'll definitely let you know the next few things that catch my eye, because it was fun watching the movie there. And it was a fun movie to watch. Yeah. I think they have a lot to offer.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty fine, much, fine place to be.
90% of the other people in that room look just like us, by the way. It's a good place for a middle-aged man to go sit for a couple of hours.
Which is what we want to do.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, I'm Yeah, I don't even need the film. I just need the chair.
I'll pay you if you just let me sit here. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for me.
What yeah, I think I'm. I think I'm kind of. It's been very low key. We're coming up to Easter, which will be a nice little break, and then yeah, hopefully. Well, now that the clocks have gone forward, we have more daylight.
Yeah,
more
nice.
time to go on bear and bar and bakery crawls.
The three B's.
The three B's. Classic three B's.
The BB's.
So, but yeah, no, I am kind of done. I'm very content. I'm full of noodles and chicken and wagyu beef and yeah.
Beer,
I'm
in my
very, very happy. I'm in a very, very happy place. So if where can we track you down in terms of...
Oh, well, you know what? I haven't been mentioning my own blog for a while, but I will mention. I've got some new content on my blog, including a more thorough review of Dead Lover.
Fantastic.
And that is tikichris.com. New content on there.
We just come back to the Polynesian thing.
To share about. So, yeah. tikichris.com, my blog. What about you?
And as we get ushered out with our own music, which sounds an awful lot like Enub and the Ear Was Strange.
Yes.
Just bubbling under. This as we bring this to a probably very welcome climax. You can track me down on Instagram at DineHard, as ever. And obviously we have our own All Consumed.
All Consumed on Instagram and All Consumed Pod on Instagram, and allconsumedpod.com is our blog.
Yeah.
And we're also on Apple Podcasts.
Exciting stuff. We're so technological for middle-aged, beardy men who need to sit down. Well, I think that's it.
That's it. Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, mate.